ABC Radio Australia.
One of the Pacific's leading media voices says some of her news colleagues would be quietly chuckling to themselves as they read over the latest report into world press freedom. The 2019 World Press Freedom Index, collated by the NGO Reporters Without Borders and released in recent days, lists just a handful of Pacific Island nations, but has PNG improving 15 spots to have the 38th most free press in the world, while Fiji jumped 5 spots to be 52nd. Samoa is the best performed in 22nd spot, while Tonga is 45th. The rankings are determined from data collected on abuses and acts of violence against journalists around the world, as well as responses given by journalists to questionnaires on media independence, self-censorship, legislative framework and newsmaking infrastructure. The index's release comes amid attempts by leaders to expel American journalist Joyce McClure from the Federated States of Micronesia, as we heard on Pacific Beat yesterday. Now, Lisa Williams-Lahari is a New Zealand-based journalist and coordinator of the Pacific Freedom Forum. I spoke to her earlier and she told me that despite the cynicism of her colleagues, the results showed that journalists on the ground could at least feel like their complaints were starting to be heard.
I think I can picture some of my news colleagues across the region having a bit of a chuckle going through these apparent perceptions of progress in some of our countries. But I do think at the end of the day, even if they're not really feeling it on the ground in terms of those jumps upwards in the ladder for places like Tonga, Papua New Guinea and Fiji, they can give themselves a pat on the back for making more noise about some of the worsening conditions that they face in the Pacific. And perhaps that is, you know, an indicator of more voice and media freedom when the actual alerts and the ability of journalists to talk about and raise the, you know, flag areas of concern is seen as overall progress.
Technology is developing, changing at an alarming pace, including social media. Journalists are using these more and more to get information out there, whether that's fake or real, and governments are often struggling to keep up with this. And we've seen, I guess, the introduction of certain cyberbullying laws in particular countries. Do you have a view on those laws and the harm or the good that they might be doing?
Yes, we've seen the rise by, or the rising interest by Pacific countries in bringing in cyberbullying laws. As we've noted from countries like Papua New Guinea, Samoa, we are seeing laws being passed that don't necessarily focus specifically around cyberbullying, but that can be used as an excuse to silence the media as well. Media leaders have raised concern over the laws in Papua New Guinea. They commented on them in Tonga last year. And we've got to be careful in the region where the safety and the privacy of citizens is protected, especially around gender issues and the protection of children. But you've also got to protect just as fiercely the rights of people to access information, to share ideas, however unpopular or dissenting those views may be, and to be able to speak freely and gather freely online. So you've got to be really careful and dig deeper into the legislation when it's proposed, because sometimes the grand language that precedes and endorses and rationalizes these types of legislation can actually be unpacked and reveal that they're taking away some of the good, some of the rights that citizens can get when it comes to accessing official information and expressing their ideas freely.
In the report as well, a couple of the larger countries in the region, including Australia and New Zealand, are also featured, and they're not immune to criticism in the report. It says that media ownership, in particular in those two countries, is very concentrated, and there are also being laws introduced in those countries to make it harder for journalists. Are you concerned about the situation, I guess, in those larger countries like Australia and New Zealand as well?
Absolutely. I mean, the questions around cross-media ownership and the lack of diversity of ownership in larger nations in the developed countries such as Australia and New Zealand can't be ignored. It impacts on just the quality and the delivery of information in the public interest and the diversity of voices that audiences need to have. So, yes, that is a concern, especially when you have large communities of Pacific people living in places like New Zealand that get their information from the mainstream media in the way that they do. But But it is quite different too in terms of the realities facing media ownership in developing Pacific nations, where the economies of scale facing media owners, independent media houses, are very, very different to what you're experiencing in Australia and New Zealand, where the audience sizes and the advertising bubbles are very, very different. There's a very large looming threat to independent media owners, where you can have large advertisers such as the government actually turn on you and turn their money away from you when it comes to state advertising, because they find that they don't agree with the editorial slant of your news outlet. So those kinds of threats are very real for smaller developing nations and the newsrooms in those nations. And it's a reality that more Pacific editors are very aware of.